Have you ever considered what the expression to wait with bated breath means? As the election results began to roll in during the evening hours of November 5, 2024, and as they continued into the overnight, the nation waited with bated breath. It means it was with a nervous anticipation, for the night was filled with moments of ups and downs, highs and lows, the cries and the shouts of rejoicing that were coming from the people. The contest for the will of a nation was coming to a close, and much had been laid on the table, but even more had remained hidden behind closed doors. The answers to the questions asked were soon to be answered. Would the nation see a revelation of mercy or a confirmation of judgment? We have observed the reactions of people as the views concerning the quality of life encompassing the nation reversed positions. And those who thought that darkness had filled the land these past 4 years now saw a light rising on the horizon, and those who thought themselves to be in the light already were reeling with emotions that led them to believe that the darkness was now rising up to wash over them. Changes do come at a great cost to all. And now the anger that is about must be sorted out, as people must begin to learn to talk to one another again, and the fits of rage and lawlessness, they must be brought under control. You see, there are two different views, two different visions for a country, two different belief systems, and two very different levels of tolerance and acceptance. These are two very different lifestyles. They are ships passing in the night. They hear a sound, but they cannot see except for what is on the radar. And in each, in the core of their emotions and thinking, they believed that the person that they wanted and voted for would save them from those who don't think or live as they do. How does a country so divided, so different, so polarized, and so separated from one another come together? Well, they can't. Not until the church finds her voice, until Christians proclaim the return of Jesus Christ and stand for righteousness, and proclaim the need for and the hope that is in God's salvation. Until that time, until those conversations arise, the separation will only continue to grow. The comment was made the other night, of which I fully agree with, for what it's worth, that these last years have been a separation between the sheep and the goats, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who will not. And they're with the results of this past election cycle, that the remnant church, those who are engaged in an active relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they are now being refined to reveal those who have fully committed their lives to Him, not Christian in name, but in spirit and truth. Psalm 146 and 3 reminds us, "Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save." One only gains a temporary moment of a false security, because what is offered to you by placing your trust in man rather than putting your trust in the Lord is not eternal, but merely a temporary fulfillment and meant to be known to you while walking upon the earth, for it can go no further than the boundaries set for it by God the Creator. Psalm 146:4 says, "When their spirit departs, they return to the ground, and on that very day their plans come to nothing." They are men, people, and as such, they are prone to fall. They are prone to wander. They are prone to be deceived and to deceive. For they will lie, steal, cheat, pursue lust, satisfy desires of greed. They will hate, they will possess envy, jealousy, and be partakers of sexual immorality. They're people. And they, like each of us, were born with a sinful nature and will follow its path and pursue its ways unless and until they come to the foot of the cross. And there they submit themselves to first the authority and the lordship of Jesus Christ, and then to the betterment of their fellow travelers on the earth. If it were possible for one person to save another, then Jesus, the Son of God, would have had no need to come down from heaven, nor would he have had to suffer at the hands of those he came to rescue and save. He would not have had to hang from a tree between two criminals. And he would not have had to die and be buried in a borrowed tomb. But he did come. and after having endured the suffering thrust upon him by mankind, he would rise up from the grave, having conquered death, and ascend into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father, where he waits yet to this very day to be sent back to the earth, first to gather those who are called his own, and then to destroy once and for all time the evil and the wickedness that is now within a man, and to lock into the abyss the devil and his demons who have led, guided, and directed the paths of all who have rejected Jesus as Savior and Lord. And Jesus will then set up his kingdom in the new Jerusalem, set up in the new world, in the new earth, where there will be no more death, no more suffering. There will be no more hate or envy or jealousy. And there will be peace and rest. And so today ask yourself this. To whom can you compare him? To whom can you compare to the Lord? Who can you lift up and consider then to be his equal? Who on this earth could do what he has done? Where is this man located? He doesn't exist. Isaiah 40, 12 through 15 says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? And who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? And whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding?" Matthew Henry says in a commentary on these verses, "All created beings shrink to nothing in comparison with the Creator. When the Lord, by his Spirit, made the world, none directed his Spirit, or gave advice what to do or how to do it. The nations in comparison of him are as a drop which remains in the bucket compared with the vast ocean, or as the small dust in the balance which does not turn it compared with all the earth. This magnifies God's love to the world, that though it is of such small account and value with him, yet for the redemption of it, for the redemption of it he gave his only begotten Son." John 3:16. The services of the church can make no addition to him. Our souls must have perished forever if the only Son of the Father had not given himself for us. It is by his hand that everything was, is now, or will be. And so who is man to tell God how to operate the order of creation, or to explain to him how the creation order works? How arrogant and naive that person must be to believe themselves capable of being compared with God. And yet here we are today with men and women who presume to be able to do just that. And so with that, God, with what God had designed, what he had perfected and blessed mankind with, they now take what is given and they tear it down. They distort its purpose and they use for evil what was meant for good. That's the nature of a man. He has kept hidden from view, for fear of full revelation, the condition of his heart. But truth will reveal itself, although false lips will make promises that can't be kept and hide lies that should be revealed and twist truths so as to become void of any meaning. But there is nothing hidden from God. He knows each of us, and he knows the influence and the power we may yield, or the weaknesses that will hold us down in captivity. And so while some waited for relief in the news, others sat in fear and dread, with few of them acknowledging that it is by the grace of God that what has been happening to this country has been brought out into the light, and by mercy shown to a fallen people and a church that needs to step out of the shadows and show those same people the way to the true King and the kingdom that awaits his coming. America. Christians, we've been blessed with the days that will fill the next 4 years. Having been shown mercy, having received his blessing, what will you do with those days? Will you sit with bated breath, nervously and anxiously waiting for the next election cycle to raise up a man or a woman that the nation will fall in step behind and look upon them as their Savior and Messiah? Or will you willingly get on your knees, get on your feet, lift your voice in prayer, and pray for those who have been set in these places by the Lord? Daniel chapter 2 says, He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things, and He knows what lies in darkness. Power has changed hands in America this week. Eyes have been opened and voices have been heard. But it can be said of us that our memories are short and our attention span oftentimes is even shorter yet. In this time of the Lord's mercy, please do not look at it as a time of returning to your comfort, but view it as the time you were called into, a time to gather the harvest, to proclaim to the dead and dying in spirit that if a person does not follow Christ Jesus, then they will follow another down a dark path. You will both love God and hate evil, or you will hate God and worship evil. There is no middle ground. You see, life and death still hang in the balance of this nation. So would you be willing to lay down your life, to let go of your comfort, and to go to the mat for another, that they may live? Pray, Christian, that it may be so.